This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We wanted to focus on one very specific part of the healthcare system that is under tremendous strain: care at home. I'm talking about someone who helps an elderly, disabled, or recently hospitalized person get through their day. Whether it's a bath, help taking their meds, even eating. The kind of care that Tim Ortiz, a certified nursing assistant in North Carolina, gives. He reached out to us here at Marketplace Weekend with his story. He's been working with people with disabilities for 10 years.
It's work that's creative and difficult and challenging. I learn every day, and I could continue to improve and get better and do it more and more properly if I could continue to invest in it. But that investment is not something I feel is appreciated in any way by the system. There's no prospect for me to continue doing this work and make any more money than I make, which is not very much. It's not enough to, you know, to live on my own or to have a family or anything like that.
13 million Americans got home care in the year 2000. The Centers for Disease Control says that will more than double by 2050. Even as agencies across the country are having trouble finding people to do this work, the average pay for a home health aide is about $10 an hour. Barbara Cano works as a home health aide, both for an agency, where she makes $10.50 an hour, and then at home for free with her 85-year-old father. She also took care of her mother, who died in January.
It's very emotional and rewarding at the same time, because I know my father needs me there. My mother needed me there as well. I have siblings, so they did help with my mother, and we share in the care for my father as well. I'm the eldest of nine, so I'm used to taking care of people. On the other hand, taking care of somebody that you're not related to is a little bit different. Try not to get the emotional ties, but it's hard not to as well.
What do you think someone listening to us have this conversation might not understand about the kind of work that you do?
That it is difficult. Some people think, oh, you take care of old people all day. They don't do anything. They just sit there. But you have to be constantly on your toes and aware, because sometimes they move quickly and try and get up out of bed, or they're very confused and don't know what's going on. And we have to play it by ear. She'll ask me, what is today? Today's Saturday. Oh, good, I don't have to go to school today. So she's regressing. So she thinks she's in school. She asks me for her parents. And sometimes I don't know. Do I tell her, well, your parents are no longer here? Your parents have passed. And I have told her at times, you know, your parents passed many years ago. You're 91 years old. And she'll say, no, that's not possible. It's not possible. I can't be. I want to call my mother. I want to talk to my father. So it's hard not to get emotionally involved with things like that.
Does it ever make you angry, or does it feel unfair that you're caring for someone in a moment of need and you are compensated at, say, you know, $10.50 an hour?
It does, because I would think somebody's care and life would be worth more than that. It's difficult. I'm on a very tight budget. I was working up to 4 years ago when I stopped working to take care of my parents, and I was earning a decent living. So I've had to adjust, and just to think that what we earn does really not compensate for what we do. But I've accepted that because it all allows me to care for my father as well.
What do you think is sort of the biggest issue that faces people who do the kind of work you do professionally?
Probably that we're not compensated. It's almost like taking care of a baby. Sometimes, depending on the person's dementia and how advanced it is. But I just think about these athletes who get paid millions of dollars to do what they do, their God-given talent that they have. And sometimes they complain and they pout about not getting compensated for what they do. Well, I feel that as caregivers, we're not compensated for what we do. I work for this company, and I know it's a challenge for them as well, because they have more and more clients. They can't even keep up with the demand sometimes of people wanting to do this work. People I know go and they apply for these jobs thinking, oh, I'm going to go take care of this little old lady or this little old man. And they don't last because they can't do it. When I first started with the client I have now, my first month there, she must have gone through 10 different caregivers who just couldn't handle it.
Wow.
It is a lot. Hours are long. I work 12-hour shifts on Sundays because really nobody wants to take those shifts. And it takes away from my personal things that I want to do with my family as well.
Does all of this experience make you think about what's going to happen when you get older?
It does. It does. And although I never thought it as a complaint to take care of my mother, and I know she would say, I'm sorry you have to take care of me. I'm sorry you have to do this. I said, it's okay, Mom. You know, you took care of all of us as children. It's okay. But on the same note, I wouldn't want anybody to have to take care of me that way. You know, I just hope that I'm healthy enough and hope that I wouldn't have to be in that same position.
Barbara Cano, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To get a better sense of how Barbara Cano's experience is reflected across the country and what this industry is like, we called up Al Cardillo. He's the vice president of the Home Care Association of New York State. He recently told lawmakers there that because more people are getting care at home and because so many baby boomers are retiring, the need for health aides is critical.
The CDC, for example, estimates that by 2050, 27 million individuals in America will need long-term care services in the community. I would venture to say that as the system is changing, when you add the post-hospital patients, individuals for whom hospitalization or emergency room care is being avoided, that number increases greatly beyond the 27 million.
Are there enough workers to do that job?
Well, right now, I would say neither in New York nor across the nation are there enough workers to do that job. The need far exceeds the number of workers. And as a further comment on that, it's really not just about the number. It has to be about the ability to recruit a workforce that is matched effectively to the needs of a patient. And I'll give you an example. If I have 15 home health aides, but none of them can transfer a 300-pound bariatric patient or a patient who's 150 pounds but is dead weight, then I don't have access to a worker for that patient. So the imperative is for me to be able to have a worker that can transfer a patient in that situation. The same is true if I have a Korean-speaking person or a Russian-speaking or Chinese or Spanish-speaking individual. I need to be sure that I have the staff that have the language and the cultural competency to effectively work with that individual and their family.
You know, there are going to be people who listen to this interview and say, well, is this the job of the federal government to be paying for this? I mean, isn't this the job of family and churches and synagogues and the kind of communities that have taken care of people, you know, for sort of since time immemorial?
Most of the statistics will show that even with the extent of the expenses that the federal government, the state government, and others make, 80% of the care and support provided to the elderly and individuals who need care in the community is provided by informal caregivers, by churches, and by others who care and support an individual, including family and loved ones.
I want to read to you a comment we got from a listener, and I'd like your take on it. And this is Karen Willison. She wrote us saying, I do not find there to be a shortage of workers willing to do home care. However, I find there to be a shortage of workers willing to take the job and or do a good job if wages are low. So how would you, in your position, propose we fix that?
One of the things that is really endemic to the field is that it's a very, very challenging field. So what we find in our own statistical observations is recruitment is a challenge, but retention is even a greater challenge in many areas. So it's really important for the system to be structured to support workers in many ways in the work that they do in this field. Obviously, a critical part is compensating a wage that will not only attract an individual, but will keep and reward an individual in the field, mindful of the fact that the longer you have a tenured individual and the greater seniority and the greater experience, that really merits a continued increases in the salary of that individual. But the other kinds of things that are very important to support workers. So, for example, home health aides are often with individuals until the point that those patients die. There's a very, very strong emotional attachment of many workers to their patients and a need for agencies to be able to support aides in that emotional period. Our goal is really trying to work to create this very holistic structure in the application of aid services in the broader plan of care for patients at home.
Al Cardillo, Executive Vice President of the Home Care Association of New York, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So many of you reached out to us via Twitter, phone, and email for this story. We'll hear more from you later on in the show. And if you have a story or experience you'd like to share, you can always get in touch. Our email is weekend@marketplace.org, or you can reach us on Twitter. We're @MarketplaceWKND.